Love.
Loveline is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. This is Loveline.
Loveline.
With Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's not Dr. Drew. That's Dr. Ohad, who is OBGYN, who you've heard on this show on numerous occasions. Filling in, yes.
Dr. Ben.
Yeah, oh, that's sorry.
It's just easier.
Yeah, it's easier. Into the mic.
There I am.
Yeah,
hello.
It makes it easier, too.
Thank
Couldn't
you,
pull
Adam.
It toward you. Dr. Ben is, yeah, I knew I called you something different
there
in the past.
Go.
Dr. Ben is a gynecologist and an obstetrician, and he delivers babies, and he knows all about them parts down there. And here's the thing. Quite a bit, too. Let me say this about Dr. Ben. Dr. Ben's the real McCoy. Smart guy. A lot of people claim to do things for a living, but the second you start picking their brain, you know, I scratched their brain like a lotto ticket, and it turns out they know nothing. I'm amazed at the amount of people that claim they're a professional, fill in the blank, and then the second it's like, you, your number one Mitsubishi dealership in North America, huh? Yeah, how much horsepower does the Galant have? Oh, it's peppy. You don't know? You don't know. You don't know anything. That's wow. How most people are. This is how most people are. Walk around. Go to the stereo store. Talk to the guy. He wants $4,000 for a 42-inch plasma. Is this one, is this a monitor, or does this have the speakers built in? Let me check on that. Really? It's just, you don't know.
Those must be the new guys.
It's everybody.
Really? You think it's everybody?
Nobody knows anything. We're living in a, see, there used to be a time when people just prided themselves on knowing stuff, and now you get penalized for knowing stuff.
Yeah.
You're considered a bookworm or a kiss-ass or old.
Yeah.
So the point is Dr. Ben actually knows things, which is amazing.
Wow. Your mouth is writing checks. I better be able to cash.
You better be
You're
able to cash.
My butt on the line
now,
right now.
Here's the thing about Dr. Ben. We've had him on the show many times, and questions come up about new forms of birth control and all sorts of matters that pertain to this region and this world, and he has an answer for everything. Yes, you do.
Right. It
God
might not be the
it.
Right answer.
No.
But
no,
I'll give you an
that's
answer.
That's not the point. The point is you have confidence and chutzpah, as your people say.
Thank you.
So actually people say chutzpah. But
good.
I didn't want to get crap all over the mic. So first off, tonight we should be steering our questions because Dr. Drew is following his daughter in some sort of ice skating tournament.
Wow. Hey, that's pretty cool.
It's cool.
A good involved dad.
It's awesome.
That's
yeah,
cool.
Can be eating disorder on the way, but yeah, it's awesome. Except for when his wife hits me up,
for
she's like, the girls' ice skating group wants to go to Paris this year, and we're taking and I'm like, you want? First off, you ice skating parents don't know. You know, it's not like you guys are playing like inner city Pop Warner football or something. You guys are all filthy rich. Number one, number two, I don't need to subsidize an 11-year-old's trip to Paris.
Yeah,
and by the way, this is like 2-3 years ago. Like, oh, you mean she's made it? She's almost made it to 10. Has not seen Europe. She's not seeing Champs-Élysées?
Yeah.
She's almost 11?
Right.
Oh, good Lord.
Yeah.
I didn't see an airplane until I was 33. Are you high? She's like, okay,
it.
Make the checkout. I'm like, I'm not giving you any money.
Did you get away with it? Did he let you get away with it? Okay.
Are you kidding?
You guys have a good relationship.
Yeah, we got a relationship like a cop and a vagrant. And they just run out and start beating her and yelling her. We go, move on. Keep moving. Yeah, it's awesome. So, no, I would not subsidize that. I mean, Drew's kids have been through the Panama Canal.
Wow.
They've had an audience with Castro. Actually,
no.
They've been to Cuba.
That's amazing.
I know, but I want to, I don't know. Does it make a difference? You know
it's,
what I mean?
You know what? It's got to make, if they're doing it together, it's worth it. So,
I'm jealous.
More power to them.
I'm
bitter. Hoping they're having a good time. Are they in Paris now?
No, now they went to like Connecticut or Vermont or something. They're going to New York. She got into figure skating, and they just travel all over the world.
Wow. Yeah. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
I hope they're having fun.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, Dr. Ben is filling in. So the questions tonight, and although you're a physician,
sure,
you could answer general medical questions,
yeah,
but your specialty.
Sure, let's make it something that we can really work on. So,
right. So
general gynecology.
Trying to have kids.
Sure.
Birth control, contraception,
sexually transmitted diseases, anything. Just
that's
throw
right.
it my way. I'll see if I can pick it up and
all
do
right.
something.
Well, let's start with Holden over here, who's 17. Holden?
Yes?
What's up?
Not much. I just had a question for you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Go for it.
My question is, me and my partner, we like to have anal, and it gets really rough. I was just wondering if you can get any real good damages on the insides from that.
Yeah,
she says she has pains and stuff sometimes. And
pains, plural. Hey, Holden.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go ahead and label this as a bogus question.
Oh, why is that?
Because I read you like a dime store novel. You're paper thin, buddy. It's like holding a rice paper up to a Klieg light. There's nothing. You got nothing.
You got nothing. Holden.
You got nothing, Holden.
Come on.
Seriously?
Did you hear his voice broke?
Yes.
That was the tell. You know, last year it was the jar. What was it?
The mason jar.
Last year we got a mason jar call. It's been a little bit. Is this what's going on this year? What's the thing this year?
Is it mason jars this year? Here's the thing. Bogus calls are the new black. It's just every type of bogus call. No rhyme, no reason, no direction, no theme, no motive.
Okay.
Just all bogus all the time.
So should we even try? I mean, should I even go there?
Let's play best of and pack it in right now. Michelle, cue up some best of. Find a show where Rackman was hosting so we can get some entertaining. Get some good guests on here, and let's just get out of here. Drew will be back. It'll be awesome. He'll be talking about his two-year-old triplets. It'll be awesome.
Okay.
All right, let's just keep going. Now, I can hear the bogus in the voice.
Wow. You're good.
Thank you.
You're good.
Desiree?
Yeah.
You're 17?
Uh-huh.
What's up?
Well, I didn't know Dr. Drew would be gone, but...
I'm sorry. Good.
Sorry.
That's tough. That's all right. It's a mitzvah for you.
I'll do my best.
Okay.
Where's Dr. Drew?
Okay, I met my boyfriend when I was 16 and he was 19. We met in college, and we've been together for about 9 months now.
What were you doing in college?
Yeah, 16. That's 16. Early, right?
I got my GED and immediately started college.
Yeah, but junior college.
Well, yeah, we met at tech school.
Okay. What were you learning to do?
I was going in for my basics, and then I was going to go ahead and go into journalism, but then I quit, and that's another story.
Hold on. Tech school for journalism?
No, you get your basics at a tech school, because it's cheaper than going to a...
Oh, you mean tech school, you mean like junior college?
Washtenaw Technical College, yeah. It's
okay.
A junior college.
Hold on a second.
You used to say that's high school with ashtrays. Is that different? Are we talking about something else?
Yes, hacky sacks that I've now added to that mix. Here's the thing I don't understand, and this is a Loveline call. It's like you go, oh, I graduated high school when I was 16, and you're picturing, ooh, Asian guy holding a cello, right? Oh, my God, this is amazing. No, our people just took the GED, which you could technically pass in the fifth grade. By the way, they take the GED. I know. You don't know from GED. Your parents would kill themselves if they ever even brought up G. The point is they take the GED in the 11th grade, and then they go to junior college, and then they languish in junior college, which is like, why don't you just stay in high school for another year and a half and go to regular college?
What's the rush? Like, what's the GED?
You say you graduated high school early and started college, when the reality is everyone in high school is smarter than you are. Here's the deal. A C-plus high school senior is smarter than your average junior college student. You see what I'm saying?
Got it.
All right.
Okay, now that we're done making fun of Desiree.
No, I'm not done.
No, okay.
No, I'm just getting
started. Sorry, Desiree. Let's try to help
you. All right, so you got your GED. Then
I'm
you
the
want to...
Thank you.
Homeschool. Disaster. Then you went to junior college.
Yeah. So we met there in college, and we've been together for like 9 months, and we're engaged to be married next spring after I'm 18 in January, right? So things are getting serious.
You're doing everything really quickly, Desiree.
Yeah. Why so early?
Bam, bam,
well,
bam.
If Dr. Drew was here, he would immediately tell you, oh, have you been abused? Yeah, so he would say that. Yeah, so I had to grow up.
Well, you're homeschooled, and it sounds like your parents were very protective.
No.
And I don't really mean that in a good way.
No.
And you got out of the house as soon as you can, and now you're looking to get married and start a family. Like, you're looking to run from something. Yeah?
You actually want to hear what my homeschooling was? I basically watched MTV, surfed the internet, and read Jane Austen books. That's what my homeschooling was. My mom went to work, and I stayed home by myself.
Right.
And homeschool means cutting school now?
Homeschool is...
Okay,
but keep talking, Desiree. I'm just trying to figure it out. And
here's the deal. I understand about our society.
All right.
If you want to put a second story on your garage, you got to go down to City Hall and kiss the man's ass. If you want to take your kid and just keep him at home and ruin him, that's your business. You know what I mean? If you want to take your retarded religious beliefs and foist it on your kid, go right ahead. If you never want to let him see the light of day, go right ahead. But if you want to do anything on your house, I don't care if you want to put in a picket fence, you better go down and get a permit and get some drawings and get an engineer and get a soils report.
Okay.
I just, to me, homeschooling, unless your parents are teachers, no. You got to get out of the house.
Yeah, well, it's important to get out of the house for more than just schooling, right? I mean, you have to learn how to deal with people your age. You have to learn how to interact with, you know, peers.
Yes,
and,
yes.
That's very difficult to do in a home. Well, again.
But if your kid doesn't show up for school, they come knocking on your door. Where's your kid? Why isn't he at school? And then if you just go, oh, we're homeschooling them, then they leave you alone. Right. Meanwhile, what's homeschooling?
Yeah.
They never check it out.
Yeah.
Desiree?
Yeah.
All right, so you're just basically warehoused.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, well, at least you had MTV. I just got warehoused over at North Hollywood High.
And thank God for Fuse.
So, for what?
Fuse?
Yeah.
Is that a show?
I'm guessing.
Okay, anyway, so...
So here's the thing. You're anxious to get out of your home because your parents are oppressive. You got out, you met this guy in junior college, and now you want to get married.
Yeah, well, now we're kind of serious, and it's just kind of bothering me that the constant... you might leave me for some other guy keeps coming up, or, oh, I'm shit. And I'm just like, either this is coming from when he was in high school, he was constantly being picked on for being a punk and being chubby. And when, I think last year, one of his best friends died. So I'm wondering, like, does he need to go to therapy? Because this is really bugging me constantly having to reassure him.
All right, Desiree, listen to me. You're not stupid. You just grew up around stupid people.
That's true.
A little of their stupid stink rubbed off on you.
Okay.
You need to not get married. 19-year-old guys aren't ready to get married.
Yeah, here's what I'm getting out of this. I think this is maybe his way of having her back out. Maybe he's trying to...
Sabotage?
Yeah, he's trying to sabotage this because I'm not sure he's ready. So he's going to say, well, you know, you're going to leave me and you know I'm not good enough for you, blah, 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 blah. And then basically just give you enough outs where you're like, okay, I've had it.
And guys...
And he gets off the hook.
There's a... Yeah, whether he knows it or not, it could be subconscious. Right. Also, 19-year-old guys are all over the map when it comes to relationship. They're jealous. The next thing you know, they're camped out in front of your house. They're stalking you. It's getting a little cathartic. But they are all, I mean, they're just all over the map. It's like, it's almost like they almost can't physically handle a long-term, committed, intimate relationship because they're like puppies. You know, they just can't handle the responsibility of it. Their nuts haven't dropped yet. I don't know what it is. It's a 19-year-old men can't do that.
Well, especially men. Maybe women get through the process earlier, but men are just not cooked at 19.
No.
I don't think we're done.
No, we got a gooey center.
Yeah, we're not cooked.
No.
He needs more time.
That's right. We're pink in the middle. And also, when I'm in charge, people who meet under my regime, people who meet in junior college will have to be sterilized because I can't have that horrible gene passed on. You know what I mean? That mutant retard gene. Kid's going to come out five arms and no brain. Do you know what I'm saying? You want two junior collegers hooking up? They're going to give birth to an ashtray. Just a beanbag ashtray, the ones they used to have in your car. I mean, I don't even know if a kid would come out of them. Is that what we need? A legacy?
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
I'm getting
you. Yeah, I'm gonna have, someone's going to be sterilized. I'm going to have to keep them away from each other.
Yeah.
All right. And I say this with great love because everyone in my family went to junior college. But
right.
Look at them.
Okay.
All right. Let's go. Can alcohol tolerance be passed on? That's interesting.
That's interesting. I don't know the answer to that, but that's an interesting
point. Well, let's see if we can put our two great brains together and get to the bottom of it. Nick?
Yeah.
Yeah. You you want to know, do you have a high tolerance for alcohol?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. See, we used to call that heavyweight as opposed to lightweight, you know?
I wish I wasn't, but yeah.
Yeah, no, it's nice. It's like... it's like small people complain a lot, but I got a small buddy. Name is DeWeeze. He just flew JetBlue to New York, and I realized, to you, every seat is first class. You know what I mean? I'm 6'2". I got lots of elbows and knees. I mean, if I fly coach, it's really uncomfortable. The person in the seat reclines in front of me. The tray pushes into my sternum. This guy's a miniature person. And the difference between coach and first class is our two sizes.
Yeah.
It's all his. I don't think his feet touch the carpet when he sits in the thing.
Right.
He's comfortable. Now, let me say this. Lightweight, same thing. Couple of beers, you're effed up. You're good for the night. Save a lot of time and a lot of money. Plus, if you get pulled over and you have to take a breathalyzer, it doesn't know the difference between a heavyweight and a lightweight.
Right.
See what I mean? You get effed up, but not legally. Effed up as fast.
They're coming out with a pill that makes you get drunk faster.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Anderson.
I'm excited.
Did people hear you say that on the air?
Yeah.
Good. Gotta get me a prescription.
That'll save some money.
Well, here's the thing. If you're heavyweight, you gotta drink, a 12-pack of beer. You get fat, you get poor, and you get pulled over.
Yeah.
Nick.
Yeah.
Nick?
Yep.
So you got the heavyweight gene?
Yeah, I think so.
All right.
How much do you weigh? How tall are you?
I'm 6'2", 230.
Mm. Yeah, that's going to take, more than a couple of beers.
But I'll drink a 12-pack in an hour, and after that, I'm just full.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, more full than drunk.
More full than drunk. Yeah. Well, you got to shift over to either, like a grain alcohol, like a harder alcohol, or maybe a heroin.
The only time I've actually been drunk, I drank, those big vodka bottles.
Yeah.
I drink like 3/4 of those by myself.
Yeah.
So
drinking alone.
That's the only time I've ever been drunk.
Mm.
I have a question for Nick. You're 21.
Yep.
You live in Riverside.
Yeah.
Do you go to school at UC Riverside?
Nope.
Oh, okay.
Shocking.
I was just wondering. That was my alma mater, and I used to know guys like Nick. I was just wondering if that's where he went.
No.
Okay.
Do you roof? What do you do? Drywall? What do you
nothing.
Do, Nick?
Oh, wait. Right
what?
Now.
Right now.
Drinking.
Yeah. Okay.
Drinking.
So, Nick, you're in the same boat that a lot of my, myself and a lot of my idiot friends were when we were 21. So you have to pick a path and figure out something that you're into and get into it and just figure out something other than trying to get effed up and do it.
I don't drink a lot.
All right.
I'm just, when I do.
All right, I'm bored. But here's the thing. Yes, I do believe some people have the heavyweight gene.
I wouldn't doubt it.
There are people who drink a little bit and just don't remember the night before, get crazy, defecate on the coffee table. And then there are people that are loaded and you can't even really tell by talking to them.
Yeah.
This is why I want the designation on my license.
Of heavy...
heavyweight. Heavyweight status... in the alcohol department.
Right.
Because here's the deal. I got hand surgery a few years back. I had a couple of Vicodin, a couple of beers, got my car, no problem. Never been in an accident in my life. I know everyone's like, oh, you can't talk about... Look, here's the reality. Me, with 18 beers in me, better driver than my mom, Sunday morning, stone cold sober. That's the reality.
Okay.
That's the bottom line. So here's the deal. I'm 190 pounds. If I drink 4 beers and get pulled over, I'll blow over a .08 and I'll get arrested.
Right.
Me with 4 beers in me, I could have 4 beers in me right now. You'd have no idea.
Mm.
I could put 4 beers in me right now and drive through the pylon cone course faster than anyone in this building. No problem.
Gotcha.
You see what I'm saying?
I gotcha.
So why shouldn't that be factored in?
I wonder if there's a way to do that, though. I mean, because on a breathalyzer, that wouldn't see the difference. So
breathalyzer.
That would be a tough one
right.
to
Right. Here's what I'm saying.
Yes.
My mom could have one glass of champagne, get behind the wheel, be completely legal as far as the breathalyzer goes.
You wouldn't trust her.
Plow through an orphanage. As she does almost every weekend. All right.
You have to bail her out every weekend. One small glass,
a thimble of champagne, and then right for the orphanage. Whereas me, you know, I could have myself 5-6 beers, blow 0.15, but be fine. I want the heavyweight designation on my license. I just want to go down to, like, the proving grounds for the CHP, set up the pylons, give me a couple shots of Smirnoff, and just see how I do. Make it through the pylons, I'm fine.
Interesting point.
It is.
Yeah, you and Nick could have a drink over it.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
No, the reality is I know guys that have circled the globe drunk. Nobody ever wants to talk about it because it's like, oh, listen, you don't ever get behind. BS. If you're a good driver and you're not an idiot, you can drive drunk. You're fine. Still better than half the people that are on the road. And what about once a year when you open the paper and you see the old guy plowed through the marketplace? Is he drunk?
Whoa.
Is he drunk? No, he's not drunk.
No.
So what about him? He wasn't drunk. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Good point.
Thank you. Very provocative.
Nick, you sparked something in Adam. He's totally into that question.
Yeah, all right. But is it a gene? Can you pass it on?
I can tell you honestly, I do not know.
And I can tell you honestly, nobody really knows. Right. You can pass on the alcoholic gene.
Definitely that.
But not the heavyweight gene.
Right.
Tina?
Hi. Oh.
32, hi.
Hey.
Hi, Dr. Ben. Hi, Adam. Hey, Adam.
Hey, Tina.
34, double D.
Really?
Yes.
That's good. You see, people, I don't have to tell this to Dr. Ben. He handles boobs all day for a living. He's paid to handle boobs. But, you know, people, a lot of people do that D cup, and it all sounds great, but they're like 42 triple D. That's a 700-pound woman. What you want is that 34 D cup. You know, it's the small back. Double D.
For your pleasure.
That's right. Yeah. All right. So what's wrong with you? Bad teeth?
Okay.
He's already a big fan.
Yeah.
Okay, here's my... What'd you ask me, Adam?
Go ahead, baby.
Okay, here's my question. You know how, Dr. Ben, you don't have to get your period anymore?
Right.
Like, you can take the pill without taking the fourth week, just consecutively?
Correct.
How long can you do that for?
For as long as you need to not get pregnant, basically. I mean, you can do that forever.
And then menopause kicks in. And
yeah, basically. I mean, there are some people who do that for specific medical issues. Like, some people have menstrual migraine, so as soon as they get their periods, they're going to have a real bad migraine headache, and they don't want to get that. So they basically, for medical reasons, need to keep doing what you're talking about.
I think a lot of people believe that you're sort of playing God with someone's like ovaries, like somehow you taking control that way is going to have no free lunches in nature. Somehow you're going to end up getting, you know, osteoporosis when you're 51 or something.
Right.
But the pill's been around long enough now that it's just nothing
right.
comes of
it. And honestly,
right?
it's interesting. There's actually a good story, Adam. I won't bore you with the details on how we came up with...
I'm already bored.
With going on a 28-day cycle. It doesn't even have to be 28. It was totally almost random based on the lunar theory of menses. There are lots of women all over the world who don't get monthly cycles, and it's considered completely normal. It's only in kind of Western society women expect to have monthly periods. In many parts of the world, having a period once every 3 months is totally, totally normal.
Why?
That's on their own.
Is
nutrition
their diet?
Oh, yeah. Nutrition, mostly. Yeah. Stress, nutrition. A lot of things can change how somebody menstruates and ovulates.
Is it safe to say that in general, the better your diet and the less, you know, you're not carrying water in a gourd on your head for 70 miles every day,
right.
but you're sitting home,
right.
you're having a sort of Western comfy life out here. Is that going to make a period once a month?
Yeah, generally
speaking. The stress and the diet and everything.
As long as you've got enough fat on board,
right.
you're most likely going to have plenty to make normal, regular monthly periods.
Right. So these countries you speak of we're not talking about Sweden.
Yeah, but I mean, in a way, you have to think, you know, if we took ourselves back 50,000 years ago, we might have been a little bit more like that. We had to run to catch our food. We had to, you know, it was totally different. We barely had enough to kind of stay alive. So back then, you could say that humans originally were never meant to have monthly cycles.
Oh.
That's actually a fairly common, you know, misconception of what is, you know, what has to be normal. It doesn't have to be
monthly. It's interesting. So is the hypothesis, or I don't know how they know, they find like a tampon fossils or something. But I mean, Write that down. That's a great cracker. Tampon fossils. Awesome. Yeah. Little of that cheese squirted in the center. Here's the thing. 100,000 years ago, do you think, do most people agree that women didn't cycle every month?
I would say that that's overwhelmingly true.
And now they've gotten a little more relaxed, sure. A little extra layer of fat, it's not quite as stressful, yeah. And now it's every month.
That's right.
Could we look forward to every 3 weeks 100,000 years
from
now?
No, generally speaking, that's kind of what we think, that if we have enough fat reserves, that's basically
what
most women are going to cycle at. Yeah, about 28 days, and we'll go, let's say, between 21 and 35 days. So right around 28 days, plus or minus 7 days.
So by doing this with the pill, you're just sort of getting back to where we may have been millions of years ago.
Well, you're actually getting back to what Western society is doing now. And you're, in a way, you're kind of, you said, playing God and taking over and doing
yes.
things unnaturally. We're doing that all the time as soon as we do birth control pills. So in a way, to manipulate things even further and, let's say, not have periods for a year or 2 years, it's just basically all the same thing. You're just manipulating it so that, you know,
yeah.
you're not having periods.
I don't feel that way. I just think that people have this feeling that eventually they're going to have to pay the fiddler.
Okay.
You take a pill to do something
right.
to make you different for 30 years, and
yeah.
eventually it's going to come time to pay.
Okay.
I think that's where people are coming from.
I hear you. Do you want me to? Do we have
no.
time to get into it?
No.
Because I can actually explain why there's actually a
boring.
Lot of health reasons to stay that way and not have periods. But
no,
okay.
I'm hip. But you're just here to say that is not true, and the birth control pill has been around for 45 years and no side effects.
Well, there are side effects on birth control pill, but certainly going. Every, you know, going on for 3 weeks and getting a period
mm-hmm.
and going on for 4 weeks in a row and not having a period, in other
right.
words, never taking a break, a 7 day break, there's nothing necessarily wrong with doing that. It just, the reason why we allow people to get that 7 day placebo break is to constantly reassure them, I'm not pregnant. I just got my period.
Oh, really?
I'm not pregnant. That's more of what we're doing.
All right. Are you saying you're not pregnant?
I haven't gotten a period in a long time.
Wow. All right. I didn't know the placebo sugar pill break was to let them know that.
Sure.
So, okay.
Yeah,
all right.
Just a constant.
Interesting. All right. We'll take ourselves a quick break. Dr. Ben, see, I told you, he knows things, everybody. He's filling in for Dr. Drew. And, oh, Durex. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, speaking of sex, we got a little game we're playing here this week, which is I pick the caller at some point tonight, the best call of the night, or when I just get lazy and remember. And that caller is going to get themselves a party pack, which includes some CDs and a poker set and money. And I'm not going to tell you the amount, but you can imagine it's just they're back the Brinks truck up to your house. That's because, you know, whenever they don't mention the amount of money, that means a ton of money. And a bunch of Durex condoms. Every night this week, I'm going to pick one caller who's 18 years or older, and we're going to give them these fabulous prizes. Brought to you by Durex. Remember, there's sex, and then there's Durex. Take a quick break. Be right back after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Ben.
Hey.
Dr. Ben is an OBGYN, and he is filling in for Dr. Drew, and he has the answers. And always learn something when Dr. Ben comes in. Like, I didn't know those placebo sugar pills in the pack of birth control were there just to let people have their cycles so they knew they weren't pregnant, which makes sense. Yeah?
Yep.
What's on the horizon? What about any male birth control stuff?
I don't think I can talk too much about male birth control. People are trying all kinds of different things. Unfortunately, the problem with a lot of the male contraceptives that people are trying to put together have anti-testosterone effects, and that's the last thing that guys want to hear about is people messing with their testosterone. For example, Depo Provera, which mm-hmm. is a, you know, female contraceptive, as an injection mm-hmm. is given to sex offenders because once a man gets Depo-Provera injected into them, their sperm production gets almost to zero, but their sex drive also goes down to zero. And that's, unfortunately, that's kind of a bucket that comes together.
Really?
Yeah. So a lot of times when you work on sperm, you also decrease testosterone level. And that's
right.
sometimes a tough gig.
It's essentially, guy can't get anyone pregnant, but guy doesn't want to get anyone
that's
pregnant.
That's correct, yeah.
He's just going to sit home and watch
yeah.
his stories
so,
and cry.
So what good
watch
is that?
Watch the dog whisperer on Oprah.
Yeah.
Dogs are pack animals. Oh, they're pack animals. Where is my steno pad? This guy is a genius.
Yeah.
your job is not to be your dog's best friend. Oh, again, where's the pen?
Yeah. Well, if you're a guy watching Oprah, you already know there's like something going on.
There's already something going on. You're already lactating right into your postum. So pathetic. Oh, what you women buy.
What does this mean when the light goes on? Is that what?
That's an air raid. That means
what just happened here? Why did that happen?
I don't know.
We're in a disco all of a sudden.
Something. I don't know what that is. There's a red light above
us. It's just the phone.
Oh, the phone's ringing. Phone.
I thought it was a noise. Like, come on, I thought Dr. it meant Penn. To stop you from talking about something. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, right. We'd have a sunburns from that thing if that was the way it worked. So you get a depot is given to sex offenders.
Yeah.
And that's a common thing, the parole, that once a month,
it's
once
what,
a week.
You know,
what do you have to do?
Even castration has been tried before on sex offenders. Yeah. And that takes their... I mean, any way that you can get testosterone out of the equation, you're already going to basically put somebody down.
Right.
And they're going to be, like, not too interested.
Well, let me ask you this, though, with the sex offender thing, because it's interesting to me whether this is, you know, a physical drive, an emotional drive, or both, and who knows, or different in different sex offenders.
Mm-hmm.
You remove the sort of testosterone from the sex offender.
Right.
You remove this sort of physical urge to commit whatever crime against whatever individual.
Okay.
But does it also have an effect emotionally?
Well, let's put it this way. We know that testosterone and estrogens have receptors on the brain. I mean, there are receptors for these hormones that we make that definitely give you drive of different sorts. So if you take that out of the equation, those receptors aren't stimulated, and that's clearly going to have an emotional aspect to it.
Right.
So one can only assume that it works both ways.
I guess what I'm saying is what if you're a sexual offender and it's not so much a sexual charge for you, but you were so traumatized as a child, or you're so angry, or you're so effed up that you do it not as even a sexual release, but just to have a victim to feel in charge or whatever. That's probably going to diminish too, minus
absolutely
testosterone.
I mean, the whole violence thing is going
to... Testosterone is really the root of all evil, is it? Is it not?
You know what? In my practice, it can sometimes be the root of... I mean, certainly if you're talking about some of the things that I hear about, you know, whether it's inappropriate hair growth in women, okay? Where it's inappropriate hair growth, where it's acne, where it's, you know, there's a lot of things that are testosterone's bad. But for both men and women, testosterone is very important for libido. Clearly, both for men and women. Women make some testosterone. It's an important part of being sexually active and wanting to have sex.
What if... Tell me if this would work. What if I slipped some testosterone into the wine cooler of some chick I was trying to pick up at a bar?
Yeah.
And she drank it. Okay. 2 hours later, do you think she would have a charged libido?
You know what?
Just don't answer. Just go get it. Just go out to the van.
Yeah.
Okay. That's yes?
You know what you can do?
It would work?
You can go. You know all those female bodybuilders that just don't look like females anymore?
Yes.
I like
them because it's like...
You can ask them what their things are like.
Oh, they have clitoral megula.
That's actually true. That's pretty good, Adam.
Yeah.
I see some of Drew is definitely rubbing off on you.
Yeah, his mega clitoris rubbed on me. Is that what you're talking about?
No.
Here's my point.
Yeah.
So really seriously, if you started, you know, spiking your wife's punch with testosterone, you would probably see her sex drive go up.
You would also see her gain about, you know, 50, depends on how much you're putting in. You're also going to see a whole bunch of stuff,
hey, little hair around the areola.
Exactly. Now you're. Are you going to be able to meet her halfway there? Is the question. Well, at what point?
But I just want to know technically. Yeah. It would her sex drive would probably go up.
You could probably see.
And then my immediate question: How about later that night? How about
it probably doesn't work quite that fast.
Not
although
that fast.
We use injectable testosterone, and we know, let's say in postmenopausal women who make, let's say, zero after the menopause when their ovaries stop working, that's where most of testosterone comes from in women. And we replace testosterone. Generally speaking, we see levels increase significantly after an injection within 12 to 24 hours. So you do get some significant output fairly quickly.
Fine.
Okay.
Right.
Does that answer your question? I don't know.
Can that syringe be put into like a graduating ring, like a class ring, you know? So if I like slapped them on the back, said, great to see you, and they're like, ow, what was that? I was like, I was a mosquito on your shoulder.
You're a tricky one.
Just work on it. We'll both get rich.
Okay.
Robert?
Yeah.
You're 27?
Yes, I am.
What's up?
Well, my wife's got PCOS, a polycystic ovary.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm wondering is right now we're just now starting to try to have kids.
Sure.
And we've done it for a year, and we're not getting anywhere by ourselves. I'm wondering how difficult this could be for us to conceive.
Definitely increases the infertility issues that you guys have to think about. Now, let me just ask you just a couple of quick questions. How often does she get periods on her own?
Right now she's cycling about once every 3 months.
Yeah, and that's, you know, that's part of the problem there, Robert, is if you're stepping up to the plate less times, it's going to be harder to get pregnant. So she's ovulating, let's say, once every 3 months. It's
right.
Very hard to know when that once is going to be. So it becomes immediately, just by numbers, a little bit more of a difficult process.
So instead of 12 opportunities
right.
a year,
that's
you have
right.
four opportunities.
That's right.
Right.
And so if a
right.
normal couple will take, let's say, 6 to 9 months to get pregnant, because they get 6 to 9 times
yeah.
to step
you're,
up to the plate, it's going to take you a lot longer. So that's one thing. The second thing is there's very good evidence that people with polycystic ovarian syndrome actually also have an increased risk of miscarriages. So even if you get through, you have an increased risk of miscarrying that one pregnancy that you were able to conceive. So it's kind of a double-sided bad coin, okay? You just
right.
It's hard to get pregnant, and even when you get pregnant, it's hard to keep the pregnancy. Now, should I give some general information
about
polycystic ovarian syndrome? Okay, so polycystic ovarian syndrome is a multifactorial problem for about, we think, about 5 to 7% of women in the United States may have this.
Almost half.
A significant amount of women have this. This is not an unheard of syndrome
mm-hmm.
where, generally speaking, women never really quite have regular periods.
Mm-hmm.
Their ovaries seem to make too many androgens or some of the testosterone type
mm-hmm.
hormones.
Mm-hmm.
They do not cycle, as I mentioned, very regularly. And there are basically some problems associated with
well,
that. Pregnancy is one, increasing their risk for, let me just finish this up, increasing
okay.
their risk not only for infertility, but also for problems like diabetes. They
mm-hmm.
tend to be heavier. They tend to have inappropriate hair growth because of the testosterone, which we talked about.
Yeah.
They tend to have an increased risk of having cholesterol abnormalities and hypertension. These ladies have an increased risk of uterine cancer. In other words, all these things kind of come together, but where she's at with Robert, it's mostly infertility issues that
well,
come up first.
Right.
And just
later on, the beard and...
later on, there are some other issues.
Well, maybe we should just put her down. It sounds like we ought to just go ahead and put her
sure,
down.
Sure, Robert doesn't want to put her down.
Well, I think it's the humane thing to do. Search your heart, Robert. I think you know I'm right.
Okay.
All right, so what should she do?
Good
and
question.
Let me ask you this real quick. Like, what percentage, like in nature, what percentage of women just weren't really born to conceive? You know, I mean, did you believe that, you know, 10% or 5% of women just weren't supposed to? Does nature want a small percentage of women just not to have kids?
I can tell you that we believe that statistically speaking, we always talk about 15% of couples using unprotected intercourse over
right.
the course of a year
right.
will not get pregnant.
Right.
So you're talking, okay, about 15% of couple. We know
right.
that female...
These are about white couples. Mexican, you're way down.
Okay.
Less than 0.00003.
Okay. I don't know where you're getting your statistics.
Way down. Way... Oh, well, look at the data.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then if you think, generally speaking, if about two-thirds of infertility is coming, let's say, from a woman
mm-hmm.
because of either blocked fallopian tubes or inability, let's say, in this situation, polycystic ovaries or other problems
right.
that would lead to infertility, it's about, let's say, about 70%, about two-thirds of women. So you can come up with your own. Is it 10% of women? Is it 5% of women that just can't conceive? It's a significant amount.
Yeah. All right. And then through science, we can get that down
Definitely.
To 1%?
We can get that down pretty darn low if you're willing to go to in vitro fertilization. If we can stimulate an egg,
right.
retrieve it, mix it with sperm, and then plant it back into her, if we start young enough, we can get almost everybody pregnant.
Right, because I'd like to conceive soon. Hey, Robert?
Yeah.
So it sounds like you're going to have to go to a specialist
yeah.
and start getting underway with this.
Actually, Robert, let me just mention, I'm sure your wife, just to have that diagnosis on, you know, in her mind, just because she knows what she has, I assume she's been going to a gynecologist or somebody who's told her, you know, this is what's going on with you. For people with this diagnosis, there are definitely some medications that you can consider talking to either a gynecologist or an infertility specialist about Clomid, glucophage. There's a lot of things that are happening right now in this field that will allow her not only to get pregnant easier, but also to keep a pregnancy.
All right. And we need to take a break. He's calling from Idaho, so
sure
he's probably going to see someone who works with bovine animals. I don't know if they have to have any gynecologists, OBGYNs over there.
They do.
But I don't know what's so different between a man and a cow or by a yak or a sheep or something like that. I mean, it's all just parts, I'm just saying, you get a good veterinarian and he's gonna be able to, he'll know his way around.
Okay.
It might take him a little while to get acclimated.
All right.
Well, Dr. Ben is here tonight. This kid is a whiz with the vagina. We'll take ourselves a quick break. We'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. Loveline, I'm Adam. That's Dr. Ben. Hey, Dr. Ben knows his beeswax. He knows his vag wax. Mm-hmm. Yeah. None of your beeswax. Dr. Ben is board certified and all that good stuff, but
who knows what goes on in the old vagina, the old vagina, the old vagina.
It sounds like Homer Simpson.
Thank you. Dr. Ben is filling in for Dr. Drew tomorrow night. Foo Fighters in studio.
Oh, why couldn't I be here tomorrow?
Because you're not good enough.
Oh.
Yeah.
Now you're telling me.
We have to have talented people tomorrow.
I should have been sick today.
They're very popular band with the kids, and we didn't want to embarrass them by having you in here. We're bringing a pro in tomorrow night, Dr. Marcel.
Oh,
the
plastic guy?
Plastic surgeon,
Oh, my God.
Spray on tan, pinky ring, class act. Class act. Now, Marcel is very good at what he does, tomorrow night, Marcel and Ben are both experts. Drew is... he's a sort of jack of all trades
he's
in the
amazing.
Medical world.
He's amazing.
Master of none.
He's pretty darn good.
Ben knows his OBGYN.
Passed out a couple times.
Oh, that's Bruce. Yeah. Oh, is it Bruce or Drew? Anyway, I know too many doctors now. I made it from a zero to like 35 without even actually seeing a doctor.
Yeah.
And now it's raining doctors.
Yeah. Well.
All right. So the deal is,
I hate doctors.
What's his name? Anderson, please. I just leave. You can finish the show for me. I think Marcel is coming in tomorrow night. And so line up your plastic surgery questions for tomorrow. Just like tonight, we'll have our OBGYN questions. All right. You don't care who we talk to? Let's talk to Christy because she has a hot sounding name. Christy?
Hi.
You're 19?
Yes, I am.
What's up?
Hi. I had a question. I am about 6 months pregnant, and it's getting more uncomfortable for my boyfriend and I to have sex because now I have a stomach. And I was wondering what would be the most comfortable position and the most safest for the baby.
Okay. Great question. A lot of people, Christy, believe it or not, are like, and I get this from the husbands, who are totally freaked out by the wife being pregnant and won't go near her.
Mm.
Like, it's really weird. Like, as soon as the wife starts showing, they just get this phobia, and they're like, I can't do it. It'll hurt the baby. It'll hurt her. And they get totally freaked out. It's the first time that instead of, let's say, maybe sexualizing their wife, they're starting to think of her as a mother. I mean, like, a lot of stuff goes on that I hear about.
Mm-hmm.
And just the bottom line, Christy, first of all, it's totally safe, I would say, for 95% of women who are pregnant to have intercourse at any stage in pregnancy. So, I mean, you can hopefully give him some reassurance that that's not an issue. As far as the most common positions that people talk about would be, let's say, more of like a doggy style position or with him sitting and you controlling most of the movements up and down. So he could be, let's say, in a chair or on the bed and you get on top of him with your back facing his stomach.
Yeah. Okay.
That kind of a thing would tend to be, they're all safe, but would tend to basically allow you guys to be together with the least discomfort possible.
Yeah, so she should sort of control the metronome.
Yeah, that's generally speaking what we prefer is if you're doing the movements.
Yeah.
And he's there.
Dr. Ben says we means him and his penis. He's not talking about other gynecologists.
Right.
Yeah.
And congratulations.
Yeah, congratulations. And let's make it the last kid for a little while, huh? You're 19.
Thank
What's
you.
Up, baby? Come on now. And you're married? Everything's working out there?
We're getting married, hopefully, in within the next year.
Okay. And what's your husband do?
My husband, he works at a Yellow Freight in Tracy.
Uh-huh.
If you know what that is.
Yellow Freight. He delivers. That's
yes,
a delivery company, right?
It's a trucking company, freight.
Right. Yes. All right. So it's life in the fast lane.
Yes.
Kids going to finishing school in Zurich.
Yes.
Fantastic, Christy.
Thank
All right.
you.
All right. God
Good
bless.
Good luck.
Yeah. All right. Who, let's see, treated for UTIs.
Yes, Leslie.
Thoughts on selling birth control over the pill?
We can do that.
We got to take a break, unfortunately, because what I do is I run long on all the breaks, and then I get up against the top of the hour and
no
screw
problem.
Everything up. Let me say this. I think I got to do this business one more time.
Okay.
You know, that's how radio is, all about repetition. Know what I'm saying? Know what I'm saying?
Tell them once, tell them again, and summarize. How does that go?
Well, here's how radio works. People don't have that much to say, so you got to give up the time, the traffic, and the weather
Ace
all
Rockola
the time.
Used to do that all the time.
That's how radio works. One lucky person tonight is going to win a Durex Party Pack. You get some CDs, you get a poker set, you get some money, or monies, as my black friends say. You also get some Durex condoms, and I'm going to decide who the best call is of the night, and I'm going to award them this package. Winner must be 18 years or older, and it's brought to you by Durex. There's sex, then there's Durex. Dr. Ben sitting in for Dr. Drew, doing a more than adequate job, and we'll be back right after this. Hey, everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Ben. Dr. Ben filling in for Dr. Drew. And then some. You know what I mean? It's like if Dr. Drew was an 8-ounce cup, Dr. Ben's a good 12-ounce soda.
Hey,
can't fit in there.
12 ounces.
Too much.
You
got to take a swig.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Wow.
He's a pro, this Dr. Ben. Total pro. Knows what he's talking about. I think Dr. Marcel is going to fill in tomorrow night for Dr. Drew. Marcel is, of course, a plastic surgeon. He's been on the show many times and has as many answers about plastic surgery as Dr. Ben does about gynecology. So line those questions up for tomorrow night. And tonight, line up the gynecological stuff and Foo Fighters in tomorrow night. So we got that to look forward to. You want to speak to Lisa?
Love to.
And then there was, what happened? Is there a birth control pill? Yeah, I want to talk to...
Let's do that.
Talk to Eric, who's 24. Eric?
Hey, Adam, Dr. Ben, thank you so much for taking my call.
Hey,
thanks,
Eric,
for calling.
Boy, I love Durex condoms. Anyway,
great.
Let me
yes.
call.
Wow.
Thank
hey.
You.
Yeah, I really do.
He's
I have a couple
money.
Of quick questions. One, in a local paper today, there's an Oakland, California-based group that's talking about trying to get all normal birth control pills available over the counter via pharmacists. And I was wondering what Dr. Ben thought about that.
Well, as you know, in our state, Eric, you're calling from San Francisco, in our state, it's already being done with emergency contraception, right? So, you know, you can go to a pharmacy. You can say, I've had unprotected intercourse sometime in the last 5 days, and my last menstrual period was X, and the pharmacist will just basically give you emergency contraception. The difference between emergency, as far as the hormones are concerned.
Yeah, only took 10 years to get it through
those
meatheads, fat cabezas, by the way, idiots. Go ahead.
Okay, so
I can't stand all these idiots setting policy, these sort of half-tards setting policy.
Yeah. So, anyway, the difference between, let's say, emergency contraception, which is already being dispensed by pharmacists in California and I think five other states, is already being done. The next jump would be to getting birth control pills in a similar fashion. And to be honest with you, I really, for the vast majority of patients, I don't think there's going to be a problem with that. It's already being done in other countries, by the way.
Of course.
So
we're always way behind in these things. Here's the question. Thanks, Eric. I don't understand how this works in terms of, you know, what you need a prescription for and what you don't need a prescription for. It drives me insane. It's like you have to go get a prescription to get crab shampoo.
That's true.
Yeah. But here's the deal. I can go down to the gas station and buy 5 gallons of gas and just put it in a gas can. Then I can go across the street to the Big Five and buy a crossbow.
Right.
Then I can go across the street and buy a fifth of mezcal tequila.
Right.
What's the deal with the crab shampoo? Are kids drinking this?
That's a good question.
Give me a worst case. Thank you.
Anderson.
It's a money thing. Give me a worst case scenario for putting crab shampoo on the shelf. And it's the same with, like, this cortisone cream and stuff like that. Oh, no, you can buy the stuff that's 0000000000 point actually has no cortisone. You actually owe cortisone. You rub it on, you owe cortisone. It leaches cortisone out of your body. That you can buy. But if you want the stuff that works, now that, no, yeah, no, you got to, no, you got to talk to. What's going on?
All I can tell you is that, first of all, almost anything, even Tylenol. Okay, you can get Tylenol over the counter.
Yes.
Okay, Tylenol. If you look through the physician desk reference and hear about all the horrible, horrible things that you can get from taking enough Tylenol, then you know you'd think twice. Aspirin, gastrointestinal bleeding. I mean, people take way too much aspirin sometimes, and they end up almost killing themselves.
Right.
Kidney damage. I mean, you know what?
Right.
There's almost nothing that's like zero. Well, side effects.
Except for crab shampoo, actually, ironically.
So I can see that, you know, there's some threshold, and I don't know what that threshold is, where somebody decides up there in the FDA or wherever people make these decisions that, you know, this far, no further, and then they go with that. I mean, a perfect example, something like Claritin. You know, 10 years ago, not over the counter. Same exact dose. We had to give a prescription. Now, over the counter. Zantac. Couldn't be purchased over the counter, you know, 10 years ago. Now you can buy Zantac over the counter. So, you know, I assume that at some point we may get to birth control pills. Okay, you know what? Last 50 years, all of them needed prescriptions. Now, no prescription. We can go to a pharmacist, ask for birth control pills, they give it to us.
What would be the potential danger in having them over the counter?
Well, I mean, you know, again, maybe I can't talk to you too much about side effects on Zantac, but I can talk to you a lot about potential side effects of birth control pills.
If not taken properly?
Well, even if they are taken properly.
You have the wrong birth control pill?
No, just a normal birth control pill has potential side effects. For example, it increases your risk for gallstone disease. It should definitely not be taken by somebody who's got a potential estrogen-sensitive tumor, like breast cancer, for example.
So they would want you to consult with a doctor to make sure you didn't have these things before you took them.
At this point, that's absolutely true. I mean, they're associated with clots in the legs that could potentially go up into your lungs and kill you. But, you know, all these things are fairly rare side effects of being on a pill.
Right.
Potential dangers of being on the pill. So one could certainly conceive, you know, you shouldn't have hypertension. Smoking is a relative contraindication. You damn well shouldn't be pregnant when taking. I mean, there are certain things that, you know, you need to go down a list and check off before you feel completely comfortable. But, you know, pharmacists are already getting into this thing of going down a list, checking things off and saying, you know what, you're a pretty good candidate
Have you attempted to communicate with any of the pharmacists in the Los Angeles area?
I have to all the time. I call in prescriptions. So,
do you have any idea any of them are saying? I'd like some clarity. This is nothing. I have trouble sleeping. I just want some Ambien. I don't know what you're... You seem angry. I don't know what you're... Could you write down what you're saying? There's someone else I could talk to. Yes! Hi, sir. No one speaks any English in this whole goddamn town, by the way. And all you a-holes that are thinking of moving to Los Angeles, be prepared to not have your native tongue work in this town. You don't get to communicate with people. There's a good 70% of the people you speak to in this town don't speak a goddamn lick of English. And pharmacists, I don't even know where they're from. At least I can figure out the rest of them are probably speaking some form of broken Spanish. The pharmacists, I have no idea what part of the world these people are from. It's like a Kazakhstan. It has like a stan or a stack on the end of it. It's like you know the white guy in the NBA. It's where he's from. Like, I don't, just crazy, war-torn, used to be part of the Soviet Union. That's all I can figure. I have no idea what these people are talking about. I don't think anyone does.
Hi.
Yeah, I couldn't imagine talking on the phone with them. You can't communicate in person with them. At least in person, I can use my hands, you know what I mean? Where I start doing this thing where it's like, sleepy, sleepy. I hold little Z's over my head, or I go, crabs. You know, and I point to my groin, and the guy, and he knows what I'm talking about. Over the phone, I couldn't even imagine what that would sound like.
I don't know if you're into do you remember Blade Runner?
Yes.
Remember that was Los Angeles in like 2030, I don't even know.
Right.
But in Los Angeles, according to Blade Runner, at some point, like Spanish, and I think it was wasn't it Chinese and English all got mashed together into one crazy language?
The pharmacists
that's where we're heading.
Yes. The pharmacists
that's where we're going.
Are pioneers
in this
bastardization of the language. They're taking Chinese, American. I would say they have the Spanish, the Chinese, and the English right, but they have to sprinkle in a little something from the Soviet Union, and there you have it. I have no idea what these people are talking about. They have no idea what I'm talking about. It's fantastic. All they do is disperse drugs. It's awesome. You know, it's one thing, like in Los Angeles, it's one thing where the guy behind the 7 inches of Lucite over at the 76 station has no idea what you're saying. At least with that, you just get the Snickers bar instead of the Baby Ruth. But this guy, who knows? I've probably been on birth control for the last 8 years.
That would explain your breasts.
That's right. I'm lactating. I've got a hot flash going. Poor Dr. Ben has to talk to these people over the phone. I couldn't even imagine how that would work. What is that?
Yeah.
There's nothing with all the schooling and no English?
No, it's good because we speak medicalese. So in a way,
I
can see why you may not completely get through. I can get through. Because we don't really talk English anyway.
Right, right.
Speak English.
Right.
We don't communicate that way.
Right, right.
So it's easier.
Because the low overall is that in all languages?
In this country, you would have to just go with that, and they would know what you're talking about.
Okay. So, well, that's awesome. Like I said, I give these people a hard time, but I can, you know, if I bring in like a dry erase board, I can usually communicate as well. To draw a picture myself with X's where the eyes are.
Yes.
I'd like to go to sleep. Could we get something going?
Good one.
All right. Where are we? Who do you want to talk to?
This or this? How's that? Your player's choice. Should I just be more directive?
No, you're good.
Good. Okay.
Leslie?
Just giving you options.
Yes.
You're 20?
Yes.
What's up?
Okay, I just had a medical question. I keep getting urinary tract infections, UTIs, every time I have sex.
Yep.
Now I'm just wondering if that's like a medical thing going on or if that's just like...
It's actually very common, Leslie. There's actually a name for what she's got going on. You know what it's called?
I'll give
you a good one to use later.
All right, I'm going to give
on the
two.
Plastic surgeon tomorrow. You can say, "Hey, do you know about this?
Honeymoon cystitis."
That's exactly it. It's called honeymoon cystitis.
Thank you,
Adam. Something's rubbing off on you.
Oh, look,
you want to take my calls tonight? I'm going to sleep. Take my pager.
All right, please.
Okay, so here's the honeymoon cystitis deal: is that women are, as you can imagine, in many ways, are built very different than men. The one particular way that it's important for this issue is that your urethra, where the tube that leads from your bladder, is actually so much shorter than a man's that it's very easy to have bacteria pushed up into the urethra and into the bladder. For men, it's almost impossible. That has to go a very long way. In fact, when men get bladder infections, we're generally talking about men that get catheterized. I mean, something physically gets pushed up into them that seeds bacteria into their bladder, whereas for women, it's intercourse.
Is there any difference between sort of receiving and giving when it comes to men and women, that women sort of receive and men sort of give in terms of pushing something up something? Yeah, it's got a longer way to travel as well.
So basically, that's kind of what's happening. It's more of a mechanical issue where things get pushed up through a fairly short distance into the bladder.
What is the distance between approximately... Mm-hmm. Between and none of that metric crap.
Right.
Because I'm American. You understand me, brother?
Yeah.
What is the difference between the length between the bladder and where, let's say, the base of the penis? Because, you know, the penis is 6 inches long. It's got to travel that 6 inches.
Sure.
And then how far from there to the bladder?
It's only a couple of inches.
So
further.
For women,
that's
it's just a couple of inches.
That's right. That's couple of inches that the women have to deal with. Now, a couple of things that you can do just to mechanically try to work on this issue, Leslie, is as soon as you are done with intercourse, get up and go to the bathroom and pee. So that's like one thing that you can do.
Flushes it. But it doesn't seem to help. It actually kind of made it worse.
Okay, now let me tell you what else you can do, and we do this all the time, and you can talk to your doctor about this.
Okay.
For some women, unfortunately, so you don't get into this cycle of like, you know, constantly treating yourself for bladder infections is that you not only do that, but in the bathroom or with you, you also have one, we call this prophylactic antibiotic dose, that you're just, instead of being on, let's say, antibiotics for 7 days after a bladder infection or trying to take care of a bladder infection, you would take one tablet prophylactically right after intercourse and pee, and then you go to bed and you're done. And that will overwhelmingly kind of prevent it from ever getting a foothold.
Prophylactically means stop it before it
That's
starts.
Correct.
Don't treat it after it
That's
begins.
That's correct, yeah.
Okay.
So that would be another thing that Leslie could consider. And, you know, I do this all the time. You could get somebody like 20 pills or 30 pills, plenty of refills. They always have one around, almost like birth control. I mean, they just have it around.
Right.
And they're using it every time they have sex.
And then never
Sometimes
lets
that's,
it right. take hold.
That's correct.
All right. Also, you can do what I do, which is urinate during the intercourse. Okay. Because I play
you
it.
You got to laugh
play it
out of
safe.
Leslie.
I play it safe. Because I don't have such a long way to travel up the urethra, if you know what I'm saying.
I hear you.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
All right, Leslie. All right. Good luck to you. Yeah? All right. Yeah, let's talk to Jennifer on line
Jennifer.
Six. Jennifer.
Oh, hi.
21. What's up, baby doll?
I have lived with my boyfriend for a year now, and he's been out of town on an internship for about a month. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to purchase a dildo, and I've never had a dildo before. And I was wondering if it was offensive to buy one that was bigger than he is.
This is almost a philosophical question.
So yeah.
Adam, what's your philosophy?
Well, first off, other than your home, a dildo is your biggest purchase. And so it's going to take some serious, at least some of my parents used to tell, I remember my dad would always say that.
To you.
Yeah, I'd say, you know, second to your home, you know, your most people's biggest. And
it's a commitment.
So, yeah, it's definitely a commitment. This is a relationship. It's... you know, it will become a child of yours. You'll have to name it and keep it in a velvet crown royal sack. And so you want to think long. You want to do some soul searching before you actually pull that wallet out at the dildo barn, which is I think it's a national chain. Here's the thing: you want to get a vibrator or a dildo because there's a difference.
Well, I'm not really sure.
Okay.
It's my first time.
I should work at a porn store.
You sounded like some kind of dildo.
Are you looking to get into a new or previously owned dildo? Okay.
Sad.
Let me. This is. This is the Badger series.
Badger series.
You're looking for one. This one's made in the USA. It's actually a subsidiary of John Deere actually makes this one. So it's quality shop one over there. There's a hand crank system on this thing, but it also runs off 110.
Right.
Yeah. That's, I could see myself working.
I can see you doing that.
Yeah. And then I could do that thing, too, where they were like, how many times does this vibrate per minute? Let me check on that. It's peppy. I'll tell you what, it's peppy. Let me check on that. That's my fantasy, to have a job where I get to check on things all day. Hold on, let me check on that. Warranty on the dildo? Let me check on that.
You'd be so good in customer service.
Oh, I'd be awesome.
See it all over you.
Awesome.
You're the man.
Yeah. We're no credit? Come on down. Bad credit? Come on down. Foreclosures? Come on down. Bring your old dildo. We'll take it as a trade-in. Come on down. It's dealing days. Summer's heating up. Come on down. We didn't get to be number one by not putting people in dildos or dildos in people.
You could come up with like car chargers like they do at the phone stores. You can give away car chargers.
Yeah, runs off the AC adapter. It's great. You long-haul trucker?
Think of the possibilities.
Or just a soccer mom. Either way, fantastic. All right, so Jennifer.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're looking for.
Are we helping you?
What are we doing here?
I don't know.
You're looking.
Well,
You're looking for a vibrator.
I don't know if it's offensive. I'm not concerned about whether I want a vibrator or a dildo. I can figure that out when I get there. But
let me tell you something. You better have a decent idea what you want before you confront that 700-pound methadone addict behind the counter at the vibrator shop. Believe you me, he's not going to steer you anywhere but into his van in the alley. So you better listen to me.
Okay.
Well, I've dealt with these people before. Here's the deal. They're always fat guys in vests. By the way, the only way to look fatter is to put a vest on. A small vest on so your arms sort of hang over the side. Don't wear vests if you're fat. If you're working for Caltrans, you need the reflective ones, part of your job, that's one thing. But just on your own, leave the vest at home. So, Jennifer, you want to get yourself a vibrator. Okay.
Yeah.
And the thing that's going to be least offensive to your man is a sort of compact, streamlined vibrator. It'll be best for you because it will find its target. It's like a smart bomb. And you will not have this big, ugly, offensive-looking, veiny facsimile of Ron Jeremy between the mattress and box spring.
Okay.
All right. So just get a little streamlined thing. It's almost dainty. And it'll be better. So it's win-win. Your boyfriend doesn't come back from his pilgrimage and find something big, and you get more satisfaction out of it.
Does it make it more intimidating if I get one with one of those clitoral stimulation extensions?
No, that's fine. Go with that. Yeah.
Okay.
I could put you in a 2003, but I have to check with my supervisor. Let me check on that.
Yeah.
And we can go ahead and get the Z-Bart rust protection on that. As well, that's five years, 50,000 mile, whole undercarriage, rust protection. You're calling from where? Seattle. You get a lot of rain. You get a lot of rain out in Seattle. So I would recommend. I did it on my own dildo. I did that. I recommend that to all my customers.
You know what, Adam?
We can throw in some C cells in the AC adapter with that too. Okay, and I'll tell you what, we'll. Tell you what, don't take it with you. Let me have the boys put a coat of carnauba wax on it, and you come pick it up tomorrow. It'll look great.
Why do I get a feeling, Adam, that Jennifer just won the Durex Condom Award for that question? Because you know
what?
Oh,
wait.
So much material.
So much.
Right.
She did nothing, but yet she fed me.
Could be. Could be the one.
She was my dildo muse.
Could be it. Remember,
right.
Jennifer. Stay on
Put
the line.
Put Jennifer on hold.
Yeah,
she
could be a big candidate.
Plus, she could try that Durex condom over her new vibrator. All right.
Yep.
Let me check on that. Put her on hold. And actually, I did put her on hold, but keep her on hold. And let's give her the Durex party pack.
We've come to a decision. It's not the end of the show.
Nah, give it to her.
Okay.
You called it. I'll forget otherwise.
Okay.
Let's take ourselves a little break. Dr. Ben is filling in quite nicely. Thank you for Dr. Drew, and we'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Ben. Dr.
Hey.
Ben filling in for Dr. Drew and doing a great job. Dr. Ben is an OGBYN, or GYN, I should say.
Where's Dr. Drew?
Drew
I'm a 12-ouncer. Don't mess with me.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you said 12 ounces.
Oh, yeah. Drew's an 8-ounce cup, and he's got 12 ounces worth of soda to put in it. That is Dr. Ben, expert. Dr. Drew is in a good place because he's on Loveline, and nobody has any education or any brains calls the show. They can never call him on anything, you know?
He does a great job.
He does a great job. He's a great man. Yeah. He's, I don't know, where he's with his daughter and wife, and they're going out ice skating, and they're like on some kind of tour, and they're going to New York, and they're in Vermont, and they're making and being. I'm, of course, over here because I care. You know what I mean? Because you kids, you're my children, and every call's important to me.
But why don't you get no play, player?
All right. The point is I stay because I care. Drew, he cares about ice skating and the almighty dollar. That's all he cares about. That's right. All right, so who do you want to talk to? Let's see.
I'll talk to anybody except one.
Except for line one.
It's player's choice.
Found underground porn in boyfriend's drawer. All right, let's talk to Jenny. Jenny?
Adam!
Corolla!
Rock
on. I want to get the... Well, Ben, you know summer's heating up, right?
It is heating up.
Do you have a swimming pool?
Definitely.
Oh, you do?
Oh, yeah.
That's nice.
Love that pool.
I want to get the game Marco Polo. The pool game Marco Polo.
Yep.
Change to Adam Carolla.
It works.
So that explains this whole...
That's how this works. If you could start playing it at your home, I'd appreciate it.
I'll think about it.
Make a note, if you would.
I just wrote it down.
Thank you. Jenny?
Oh, yeah. I'm telling you that game works.
It works.
It works.
It absolutely does. And Marco Polo... Guy's been dead for 900 years. He's yesterday's news.
Time for a change.
There's a new sheriff. Here's what I like to say. I like to say this. There's a new sheriff in town, and his name isn't Marco Polo. And then I laugh maniacally. Yeah. Thank you, baby. What's up, sweetie pea?
Okay. So my loved one, who I've been with for 4 years, I just moved into his place, and he's out of town about 2 weeks of the month. And I'm down with masturbating. Mm-hmm. I'm down with a little porn.
Why is he out of town so much? His work?
He's an environmental consultant.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. He basically just doesn't do much and collects paycheck, and I don't know.
That's good.
I really don't really know what he does.
Well, what does he do? What does it environmental?
For example, like water wells, like at gas stations and
Right.
And that kind of thing.
See if there's things leaching into the environment.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
All right.
So I know I bring up, hey, you want to rent a movie or you want to buy a movie, like a porn movie, or, you know, nothing crazy, just a little something, or, you know, get something off Dish or whatever. And he gets completely repulsed and disgusted with me. And he's like, that's disgusting, that's wrong, it's not Christian crap. And, you know, he just kind of goes in, and then he gets disgusted with me and won't even touch me for like a week. Okay? And then, lo and behold, I'm putting away clothes and plus I'm snooping. I find a magazine in his bottom drawer, and it's not just porn. I have a special name for it. I don't know where it came up with it, but I'm calling it Soup Kitchen Fist Effers because it's like dirty, like homeless, hairy, snatchy chicks effing each other with their feet and their fists. And
you're turning like, Ben on, so take it easy. Yeah.
It's disgusting. And he calls tonight, and I'm feeling totally repulsed by him, hypocrite, and he's trying to try and talk sweet to me, and I'm just thinking,
All right. First off, you two been together for 4 years.
Yeah.
Sounds like, it's maybe like 2.5 years too much.
Yeah.
Sounds like maybe you two are on the way out.
Maybe.
You don't seem like you're a huge fan of this guy.
Yeah, I like that he's out of town.
he's usually a bad sign.
Yeah.
And you know, it's one of these things where you're not married, right? It's just your boyfriend.
It's just my boyfriend.
You meet at 21. You're 25 now. There's a certain thing where it's time to sort of ask or get off the pot.
Yeah.
And this may not be the guy you want to marry, so it's maybe time to get off the pot.
It's funny that his grandma says the same thing. Time to take a dump or get off the toilet kind of thing. And his brother just got married, his sister just got married, and his views on marriage are all know when the time's right, financially stable, all of those really
excuses.
And then he says he doesn't know who I am, like he doesn't know me really, and living together will help us get to that point. He has a guy having like disgusting hairy like homeless porn in his drawer. And you know, I don't know, I'm kind of creeped out about it. I don't know how to feel about it.
All right. Well, quiet down.
Sorry.
Is there something wrong with you? Is there anything we need to know? Any abuse? You sound a little nutty.
No, I'm...
A little bit.
No.
What do you do for a living?
I'm a teacher.
You got to bring some of that porn in to show kids what the world is really like.
Biology, so it's all about the human anatomy.
Yeah. And look, I agree. You know, they say porn is a window to the soul.
I believe it.
They do.
Not like a pretty nasty.
Hold on. It doesn't make you into a, you know, a pedophile or rapist or serial killer, but show me a guy with some, and there's a point, you know. There are guys that like the big jug porn and guys who like a little ass play or something like that, but there's a point where you cross the line and it starts getting into, you know, amputees going at each other with bowling balls. And at that point, I judge. Like I say, the guy who's into this, something's up. Doesn't mean he's ever going to act out on anything, but it's not the guy went leading the Weebelo troop into the woods. Do you know what I'm saying? It's important. These are indicators. They're not, doesn't mean that the person is necessarily bad. They're just like a doctor. Certain things you look for. Doesn't mean there's cancer, but you feel a lump. Maybe it should be investigated. You know what I mean?
I'm almost there.
You're almost there.
Okay. The analogy, it's a stretch, but
a little bit.
Okay, I'm with you.
This guy doesn't have to be some sort of bizarre, deviant guy, but it doesn't sound like she's that into him outside of the porn that's in the drawer.
In a way, though, Jen, you came into this guy's apartment, or I don't know, you guys are living together now. You were asking the question, is this going to work out? Maybe this is beginning to tell you that it's not going to work out. I mean, you're asking the question. You're getting some answers. Maybe, you know, this is what was supposed to happen. I don't know.
Well, that's right.
Well,
and, you know, look.
I'm trying to introduce porn again since I just moved in and kind of just, you know, exciting up this, you know, the bedroom just because it's been 4 years. And, you know, we're like an old married couple. And, when I found this, I thought, oh my gosh, I can't even think of him. You know,
yeah. All right. So look, okay.
Homeless chick.
Okay, and part of the problem is he's not, you know, his libido isn't what it used to be with you, and now on top of this, I don't know. It's very convenient and easy for me just to sit here and go put a fork in it and move forward, but it's what happens. You're supposed to have a few relationships. You're supposed to have some hits and some misses, right, some trials and errors. And then at a certain point, you hook up with the right person. And by the way, you know it's the right person because you've test-driven a few others.
Exactly.
It's a good fit. You get married. You have kids. Then you get divorced. So okay. I completely agree with that. I just think this one, I think it's been 4 years, and 4 years has been enough.
Maybe. Or maybe, you know what, she can turn it around and make it work. Maybe, you know, she'll confront him. She'll have a discussion. They'll get closer over this. I don't know. I mean, yeah, anything's possible, but I don't think she can ignore this. It's just maybe time to...
All right. Well, let's confront the guy and when he gets back and see what he has to say. Lisa?
Yes.
22. What's up?
Oh, I have a wonderful question for you guys. I'm hoping you'll be able to answer. I am using the NuvaRing. I've been using it since I just had a baby 7 months ago. So I've been using it for about maybe 5 months.
Okay.
And that's not just 7 months ago, but, you know. I have some issues with it, but at the same time, I really like it. Like,
how does that work? Is that the ring that's impregnated,
yeah,
pardon the pun,
that's
with
right,
the hormones?
Actually, I think I brought one several times ago,
oh,
and it looks like a,
yeah,
looks,
yeah,
like
I
a bangle. It's like a bracelet, like those Livestrong.
Yeah,
and then you can squeeze it together and insert. It's a little thinner than the Livestrong, but it's basically you can kind of squeeze it. It's very malleable, and then you put it in, and you
pops
don't feel
out
it. But by making contact with the vaginal walls, it slowly seeps the same hormones that you would get, let's say, if you were to take the pill orally or
mm-hmm,
to put the patch on your skin. It just gets into your bloodstream, and it works just like the pill.
So the ring doesn't do anything other than deliver.
That's correct. It's not a barrier like a diaphragm. It's not,
there's
not a barrier to sperm, per se.
Wow.
Yeah, but
heavy,
it's in the vagina.
Man.
So let's,
yeah,
let's listen to Lisa, because she says she's got some issues with it. What,
right,
what are some of the issues, first of all, Lisa?
Issue,
what do you not like about it?
The one thing that I'm really having a problem with is, you know, my husband and I, well, we really get into it when we, you know, have fun.
Yep.
And it keeps falling out.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's
very common problem.
It, like, rubs,
wow,
you know?
Yeah, so let me give you some suggestions. First,
okay,
of all, you know, hopefully after 5 months, you're fairly comfortable with manipulating this thing, taking it out, putting it in.
Yeah.
You know, it's not,
yeah,
like it's that hard to do. What I would suggest is you take it out before intercourse, you put it back in. Generally speaking, the recommendation is no longer than an hour out. Okay, so, you know,
oh, wow,
I don't know how long you guys go at it, but, you know, an hour and it's going right back in. Now, the other thing, if you really look at the pharmacokinetics, you can probably go as long as 4 hours without it being inside.
The little pamphlet says 3 hours.
That's right.
So
you have some time. You can take it out. And then when you're done, you can put it back in. So that's one way around that issue. Any other issues?
Well, let me hold on. Let me just chime in overall with everything. When they say, like, this can do 3 hours, go ahead and make it 6 hours. If they say this thing holds up to 600 pounds, go ahead and make it 1,200 pounds. Believe me, with all the chicken-ass lawyers in this godforsaken dump we're living in, if they say this is what you can do, go ahead and double or triple whatever it is. It'll be effective. It'll still work.
Oh,
yes,
but you're onto something. I mean, clearly,
you,
if you can take a 3 or 4 hour break, you've got some safety built into that. So go ahead, Lisa. What else is an issue with this?
Well,
or
just
are
that
there any other issues?
After intercourse, I do feel like it's like the ring is kind of, it still holds on to his stuff, you know. And I rinse it off. The doctor said that because of the medication that's on it, is not good to interfere with the water system because it could possibly, you know, whatever, toxicate the water system. Is it okay if I take it out and wash it off so it doesn't feel so icky? Or
no, your doctor's probably saying that you shouldn't. First
off, I'm not sure what you're talking about.
The water system that you're rinsing it off in is this ends up in the same place as when you take a crap. So don't worry about polluting
right,
that.
Is that
system.
What he was talking about?
No,
I thought he was worried about.
She was misunderstanding.
Okay.
He was telling
well,
her that it rinses. It probably makes it less effective.
It doesn't.
Well,
it doesn't.
Actually, what she was saying about the water system is that.
Oh well, hold on. You're going to a chick doctor?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. There you go, sweetie. Come on. All right, go ahead.
My OB. She's
what
awesome.
Was she saying?
Sure, she's good.
She
what was she saying?
Go ahead. That when you dispose of it, not to to put it back in the packaging it came in, so that if for some reason when they put it through the trash or whatnot, that it wouldn't interfere with the water system and, you know.
I don't know where that's coming from.
Stuff. He's talking about, like, medical waste.
Yeah. Maybe that's where this person's coming from. But clearly you can wash it off. Lisa, I think what you're concerned with is, can you wash it off? Yes, you can wash it off and put it back in. Yes.
Okay, that would be nice.
All right, yeah, do that. And, well, you won't have this problem if you take it out before intercourse.
Right. Well, she's worried about the sperm.
I like that suggestion. I didn't know that that would be allowed.
Okay. That's fine. Anything else, Lise?
Just that I think you guys are great, and I appreciate you letting me talk to you.
All right, thanks, Lisa.
That's nice.
How popular are these Nuva rings?
You know, the biggest downer on this Nuva ring is exactly what Lisa's talking about. It gets expelled during intercourse. You really just have to take it out before having sex and put it and remember to put it back in.
Why don't they tell you that?
Well, it actually mentions it in the package insert. But
I know, but why doesn't her female doctor explain that to her?
Yeah, that's pretty, you know, whatever. It maybe not didn't come up, but that's the biggest problem. You know what the problem is that you hear about patients who don't maybe who hear it but don't, you know, actually take it in.
Right.
They found it in their sheets a day later. You know, it's like the dog is chewing it up by the bed now, you know, 3 hours later. You know, you hear all kinds of stories, and you just, the bottom line is you got to preempt these things and just let patients know. Just take it out.
What?
Take it out for intercourse.
What percentage? Yeah, it's like a retainer before you eat. Go ahead and spit it out on the table. Do kids wear retainers anymore? What happened to retainers?
You know what? Maybe if I was about to get bar mitzvahed again, I'd remember the retainer issue. I don't remember.
Oh,
do we still have retainers?
Full Jufro retainer. That's a great look. A couple zits on the forehead.
Sure.
Big collar.
Yeah.
Awesome.
You're reading my book?
Awesome. No, there is, look, there's nothing better than all my buddies who were bar mitzvahed, actually I only know one guy, Nate Wittenberg. There is nothing better than looking at a bar mitzvah from the late 70s, even early 80s, because the fashion was never worse. The 13-year-old,
everybody dressed like John Travolta.
Awesome.
At Saturday Night Fever, remember the white suits with the vests?
There's two coffee table books that I would like to put together. One of them is going to be called 70s Bar Mitzvah, and the other is going to be called 80s Florida Black Prom. Oh, yeah. Have you ever seen the brothers dress up for the prom? Chicks have parasols, guys with, like, velvet top hats and stuff like that. Crazy novelty.
Cool.
Let me tell you something about the blacks. They go all out for the prom. Chicks look like extras from Gone with the Wind.
Wow.
Crazy.
That's
miles of taffeta. That would be the worst. Guys with the cherry curl, like 1983, wearing like an orange tux.
Nice.
Awesome.
Look. Yeah.
The guys with that crazy Jufro, you know, with the part in the side and full set of braces. Looking like John Travolta, except for he's swimming in his own suit because he's too small to fill it up. Oh, the Torah there, the prayer shawl around him. Awesome. They both would make great books.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got to burn mine, but
bring those bar mitzvah pictures in. It's awesome stuff.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to work on those coffee table books. That would be awesome. And we'll take a quick break. Dr. Ben filling in quite nicely for Dr. Drew. And we'll be right back after this. Yeah, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Ben. Dr. Ben filling in for Dr. Drew. Tomorrow night, Dr. Marcel, the plastic surgeon, and the Foo Fighters going to be on the show. All right. Let's talk to who? Who would you like to speak to, Ben?
Let's do three.
Line three.
Dana,
you're 25.
Yes, hi.
What's up?
I have a question for the doctor.
Yep.
And I had a miscarriage about 4 weeks ago, and I still haven't had my period. And I'm showing no signs that I usually have when I have my period.
Right.
And I'm just curious, is that normal or...
Yeah, actually, just a couple of things. How far along were you when you had your miscarriage?
Do you know? Oh, I only knew for 8 days, so I was like, what, 8 weeks? About 2 months, 2.5 months.
When you say you only knew for 8 days, you had missed your period for eight days before you miscarried?
No.
I
personally only knew for 8 days.
And that was how long after your last menstrual period?
2 months. So I was
fairly early.
But, Dana, this is Adam. I believe everything happens for a reason. Okay? So miscarriage, fatal accidents, poisoning, SIDS. It all happens for a reason. I believe everything happens for a reason.
Oh, me too. I'm a firm believer in that.
Everything.
Oh, yeah. Oh, totally.
Yeah.
Completely. No, I'm okay about it. I was just curious as to...
Were you relieved? Were you trying to get pregnant?
Yeah.
Oh, you were?
We were trying to get pregnant, yeah.
Because it seems to me that a miscarriage when you didn't want to get pregnant is, while there's going to be some feelings attached to it, might be also some feelings of relief.
Yeah.
But a miscarriage when you're trying to get pregnant is a much more devastating experience.
Sure.
Yeah.
So, Dana, just first of all, as far as the periods are concerned, generally speaking, we have our general gist is that it probably is going to take you 3 months to get anywhere close to either your first period or any kind of regulation of periods. So I would say, don't just throw that out the window.
Just the fertility clinic yet?
You know what? You've proven to us, Dana, the best proof is in the pudding. You were able to get pregnant, and 25% of all pregnancies end up in miscarriages. So what happened to you is not that uncommon.
25%
of all pregnancies end up in miscarriages.
In this country?
I only know statistics in this country, so I would assume this is this country.
Yeah.
And I can tell you that you've actually proven to us, Dana, that I would look at this as a good thing in terms of egg and sperm were able to get together and you were able to get pregnant. So indirectly, you have some very good evidence that, you know, because you just mentioned something about infertility, you're 25 years old, you have some very good things that you can take away from this otherwise crappy experience, and that is you can totally get pregnant.
Right.
I know it didn't work out this time, but there's some good stuff to take away
from it.
And give yourself about 3 months before expecting anything like a regular period again.
So let me ask a bunch of questions. One is, because Drew says this statistic as well, and I think it surprises a lot of people.
Yeah.
25% of pregnancies end up in miscarriage,
right.
But I would assume that the lion's share of those come early.
Absolutely.
In the pregnancy.
Yeah, I'm talking about 99% what happened within the first 3 months.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, once you get into like the second trimester, I imagine the numbers change quite a bit.
And that's actually when you get people a lot more devastated by miscarriages.
Yeah.
By then, you've absolutely gotten emotionally attached. You've probably had at least one or two ultrasounds. I mean, there's a whole thing that happens by then that makes those a much different experience.
Right. And so someone like Dana,
yeah,
who gets pregnant,
yeah,
and has and miscarries,
sure,
is she more likely to miscarry than the average person the second time around?
No, actually, statistically speaking, we don't see a bump in an increase miscarriage rates until somebody's miscarried 3 times in a row.
Really?
Yeah. So you really have to show us that you can't do it multiply before we can say there might be a problem here. And even those people, if they should get pregnant a fourth time, they'll have a successful pregnancy that time at least 65% of the time.
Wow. So it's really not that connected.
Yeah.
Which is weird, because I think the lay people assume that if you had a miscarriage that something's wrong with you and that you're prone to this.
In some species, I mean, in our species, let's say it's 25% miscarriage rates. In some species, it's 90%. I mean, in whales, it's like 90% miscarriage. I mean, you know, in our species, it's 25%, and that's actually not too bad.
Really?
It's hard to make a human. It's hard to make the process
90% miscarriage in whales?
I think that's the percentages in whales.
God knows how much, like, whale fetus I've swam through in my life. You know, ocean probably filled with like sort of half-formed whales. The great thing about the ocean is anything that falls into it gets eaten. Doesn't matter if it's half-formed Shamu or you just crap off the side of the ferry. Something will gobble it up. I mean, nothing gets wasted in the ocean. That's what I like. I mean, even the stuff that just falls to the bottom that's nothing but fecal matter, something will come scoop up.
Right.
And then we eat that. Just awesome. It's more catfish.
Yeah, the catfish.
Give me the lobster and the catfish.
Hey,
thank you.
I'm about to go fishing in Alabama. I'm going to be eating my share of catfish, I'm sure.
You'll be the first Jew to noodle a catfish. Never in recorded history is a Jew noodle the catfish. This will be awesome. Judled, we'll call it. Fantastic.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. It sounds like, oh, it's some in-law situation over there. Yeah, otherwise, yeah. you're going.
Actually, it's a family reunion, so.
Your family?
No.
Not your family. No, that's Goyim. The Goyim is from Alabama.
It's such a good
you're
time.
You're looking forward to it.
I love it. I don't fish all the time.
We've never seen a Jew before. You're OGBY. He's one of them coos doctors. More catfish. That's gonna suck. You got to fake an injury.
I love it.
You stay home.
Oh, come on.
My
doctor doesn't get out that much. No. Give me a break. I love it.
You got to pretend like you like it. No, your wife's listening. No, it's going to be
totally
miserable. Horrible. The summer, Alabama, horrible. Horrible. Yeah.
You do get to schwitz, but
fake
you get to fish.
Fake your own death. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this. The show, everyone. I want to thank Dr. Ben for doing a fantastic job filling in for Dr. Drew. Always a delight. Foo Fighters tomorrow night, and your questions regarding plastic surgery. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Ben saying mahalo.
I haven't gotten a period in a long time.
Wow.
This has been Loveline. Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.